Hear this reading from the book of James. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Back in June, in a tense time of public comments before the Fort Worth School Board, I spoke in support of the board's prior commitments to diversity, equity, and inclusion within the district. As I was making my way back to my seat, a man in the crowd raised up and yelled at me, "You should be ashamed to call yourself a minister." Then after the meeting, a woman made a point to walk all the way across the room in order to ask me which church it was that I pastor. When I told her, she proceeded to tell me she was glad to know, because she would never, ever darken the door of Broadway Baptist Church. She waited for my response. And all I could think to tell her, kindly, was that there are a lot of churches to choose from in Texas. We parted in an uneasy peace, but the tension was palpable. What do you say? I've been wondering that for 2 months now since. What do you say in a time like that? Or more broadly, what do we as Christians say in times like these, like the ones in which we are living? Then here comes this wisdom this morning from the book of James, chastening and correcting us, and calling us to the better angels of our nature, and exhorting us to keep from making even more of a mess with our mouths. You must understand this, he says, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. Maybe it's the season, but this term, rank growth, grabbed hold of me and took my mind immediately to some of my high school football teammates' towels. Rank growth was rampant in the locker room of Coronado High School circa 1995. For comparison, I looked up the King James Version, which says instead of sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, states filthiness and superfluidity of naughtiness. I saw and heard some of that in the locker room at Coronado also. James is saying that bad words, he doesn't just mean curse words, but bad words and bad talk in general are like the kind of rank and gross mold or fungus that has a way of taking over a place or a body. And so talking dirty, and by that mean I don't just mean dirty talk, but talking dirty has a way of taking over and really ruining a church or a community or a country. And we have to understand that what we say and how we say it really matters. Words matter. And we need to watch our words, especially right now. Because just like out in the forest of California, the ground of America is hot and dry, and the wind is up, and it doesn't take much, James says elsewhere in the book, to start a forest fire with our words that we can't control. Just one little word, one little ember of something said. And Jesus said, everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every single little empty word they have spoken. Words do matter. And so much good can be done with words. A soft word turns away wrath. A good word of wisdom spoken at just the right time and the right place changes a life. In the beginning was the Word, and God said, and there was life. We can speak words of life into others' lives. Words are powerful. But words can also be destructive. We can build up or tear down with what it is that we say. And that is why what we say has to be tempered. It has to be brought under control. James uses a metaphor. He says the tongue has to be bridled. Imagine a colt, untrained and unyielding, set free in a field. He will ruin everything. But train that animal. And then you can begin to use all of that horsepower to do so much good in the field and on the farm. So likewise, James says, the tongue, it has to be bridled. It has to be trained. St. Paul said, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Let us think about our own words, the ones perhaps we used this week. Were they helpful for building others up according to their needs, or did they contribute to all that rank growth that is around us? Are our words helping or just making matters worse? I've spoken a time or two before of the novel, which I love, Jaber Crow by Wendell Berry. One of my most favorite scenes in all of literature comes from Jaber Crow's barbershop as he's cutting his sort of friend slash enemy, our youth call them frenemies, Troy's hair. War protesters on college campuses are on the TV, and Troy says, they ought to round up every one of them and put them right in front of the expletive communists, and through whoever killed who, it would be all to the good. There was a pause after that. Jaber quit cutting hair and looked up at Troy and said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Troy jerked up his head and widened his eyes. Where did you get that crap? Jaber said, Jesus Christ. Troy said, oh. Later, Jaber wrote, it would have been a great moment in the history of Christianity, except that I did not love Troy. Do our words come from a place of love or a place of contempt? Are we blessing or are we cursing? As James says later, is the water from which we draw our words pure or is it brackish? I think we need to think about that, for as Jaber recognized, even when we use Jesus' words, we may be misusing them. And that too is a blasphemy. So James says we should be slow to speak and slow to anger. And we must recognize that our anger doesn't produce God's righteousness. We can be angry. That's a part of church. It's a part of life. But we should not sin in our anger. And we should not sin with our mouths or with the spirit of our mouths, which is our heart. We are soon, in just a week and a half, to elect new deacons here to the Board of Deacons at Broadway. Each year, the deacons here make a promise to one another. These are their words of covenant which they speak to one another. We promise to respect and care for each other in all matters, using biblical values such as justice and fairness. love, compassion, kindness, and mercy. We promise to discuss, debate, and disagree openly in board meetings, being as informed as possible, expressing ourselves as clearly and honestly as possible, and listening with an open, non-judgmental mind to each other. There are many churches in Texas, but there are not many churches choosing to live and listen and speak like that. Our deacons are our servant leaders. May God help them to live up to their promises and to lead us to do the same. And may we be leaders wherever it is that we are also. For the world needs a good word or two right now. So let us pledge to bless and not curse, pray for and not reproach, and learn to speak the truth in love and in kindness. No, not everyone is going to like what it is that we have to say. And that is why we have to be careful and cautious and ask God to give us the grace to temper the tongue and purify the heart from which it speaks, for it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so we must ask God to take our hearts and take our lips, and as the old hymn says, let them be filled with messages that are from thee. After the insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th, as the Senate closed its day's session, the chaplain of the Senate, Barry Black, prayed this prayer. Lord of our lives and sovereign of our beloved nation, we deplore the desecration of our United States Capitol building, the shedding of innocent blood, the loss of life, and the quagmire of dysfunction that threatens our democracy. These tragedies remind us that words matter, and that the power of life and death is in the tongue. Words matter. Words have the power to build up a beautiful world or to break it down. Let us then today pledge to build a world of love and of kindness with our words, blessing and not cursing in our hearts, and in our homes, and in our church, and in our community. And let it be said of us what was said of Isaiah so long ago, that the word goes forth from our mouths and shall not return void, but shall accomplish that which we please, and prosper unto the thing whereto it was sent. So then, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts do also. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.